Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and we are halfway through the season. It's actually crazy. 12 out of 24 races down. So I thought that this episode, we could just kind of go through what's happened so far this season, some of the biggest surprises, some of the biggest excitements. And I actually listened back to my predictions episode at the beginning of this season, as well as an episode I did on the top storylines that I thought would define F1 in 2025. And so I listened back to that and wanted to kind of go through sort of what has come true, what was I wrong on, where we kind of are heading to the second half of the season, and then, of course, talk about Spa, which is coming up this next weekend. So you can probably tell I'm outside recording in LA. It is a beautiful, beautiful day, and we are heading into race week again after quite a long break, which wasn't even the summer break. It was just sort of a quasi 3-week summer break. And we didn't get a lot of breaking news, so hopefully that will come in the second summer break that's coming up. But how about we start with some quick news? One thing that was announced is Apple has officially bid for the F1 media rights in the US. So as we know, ESPN's deal is up at the end of this year. They had an exclusive window with F1 to renew their contract, but that window passed. So now it has been open to other bidders. Most rumors have been around streamers like Netflix, now Apple, which is confirmed bidding for these rights to broadcast Formula One races next year. Now, I think at the beginning of the season, I probably would have had my money on Netflix is maybe the front runner on the streamer category, if we take out ESPN for a second, just because of Drive to Survive, because that's what we've been hearing a lot about Netflix and live sports. And they had just come off the sort of live Christmas game day for NFL. And so I think Netflix was on a lot of people's minds. But of course, Apple also did the F1 movie. So they have sort of emerged as maybe what we thought was a dark horse at the beginning of the year now seems to be maybe a more likely situation. They're rumored to have bid $150 million, which we don't know if that figure is exactly accurate or not, but it's very interesting nonetheless. And I'm excited to see it play out. I think my thoughts sort of do remain the same at the beginning of the season. I think it feels a little too soon for F1 in the US to go full streaming service. I think ESPN still brings so much of a captive sports audience. They really know how to broadcast live sports. That is their bread and butter. I know people have critiques about ESPN, of course, but I am a little bit concerned about streamers and their ability, even technically, to be able to just broadcast live 24 races of sports a year. And I think people would, I think there might be a lot of backlash for people having to buy another subscription service on top of, you know, maybe they already subscribe to ESPN or F1 TV or whatever. I think a lot of you all, at least I've seen on Instagram and comments and DMs, feel like as long as F1 TV doesn't go away, like, doesn't really matter what else streams it. So it could be Apple, could be ESPN, doesn't really matter as long as we have our F1 TV. I sort of feel like I'm in that camp as well. I absolutely love F1 TV. I'm sort of F1 TV ride or die, but of course I do tune into ESPN sometimes as well too. So I think I said this at the beginning of the season, I could really see them doing a test potentially for one or two races. To me, Vegas makes sense. Maybe give Apple or give Netflix the Vegas race, see how they do. F1 owns that race. They're the promoter of it. So it feels like an obvious way to sort of test, be a testing ground for what could come next. But in terms of a streamer getting the rights to 24 races year round, it still feels a little too soon to me. But I could be proven wrong. The other piece of news that's sort of been swirling, it's actually been kind of a slow summer break in terms of the news cycle, which there's a lot of like memes and rumors flying around. I think people are just bored without racing and don't really know how to spend the time. One of the crazier rumors that's popped up on the feed recently is Charles Leclerc going to Red Bull, which I feel like, let's take a step back and see where Max goes first, if he's going anywhere. But the other piece of news that's sort of been circulating is these Cadillac seats. And the news there is that there's still no news, but the boss did speak out and say and confirm that they've been talking to pretty much all the drivers that we've heard about, Checo, Valtteri Bottas, Mick Schumacher, he did confirm they're talking to Mick as well. Also, the question of Daniel Ricciardo came up, and he addressed that head on, saying that Daniel Ricciardo does not want to come back to Formula One, and anyone we have to convince to come back to the team is not the right person for the job. So sorry to all the Daniel Ricciardo fans out there, but I do think that that ship has sailed, at least for now. So we still don't really know much about the Cadillac team at all, besides the who the team boss is and the fact that Tommy Hilfiger is a sponsor. But outside of that, it's very hush-hush, and I expect we'll hear more as the season goes on, of course, as we get closer to 2026. There's not a ton else to talk about on the news front. I think everybody is just waiting for this other shoe to drop, which is Max Verstappen, and whether he's going to stick at Red Bull or go elsewhere, or if George is going to renew his Mercedes contract. I'm kind of curious what announcement would come first. If Max decides to stay at Red Bull, there really is no announcement needed because he already has a contract that takes him through 2028, but if George announces that he has re-signed with Mercedes, then I think that probably gives us most of the answer on the Max side, unless he thinks about going to Aston Martin. So I don't know. I think everybody's just waiting for the other shoe to drop after the Christian Horner news, but no news yet. I wanted to just take a second to go through sort of the stats, where we are mid-season, how many wins, how many podiums, fastest laps, those kind of things. I did post these on Instagram, but I thought it would be fun to go through on the podcast and maybe talk about some of it a little bit. So for wins, we have Oscar Piastri coming in first place with 5 wins, Lando with 4, Max with 2, and George with 1. So if you had asked me at the beginning of the season, which you did, what I would have predicted in terms of who would be leading the championship and who would take the championship, I did say Lando at the time. I think I had predicted Oscar coming in P4. I think my ranking was Lando, then Lewis, then Max, then Oscar, which it's kind of funny to think back on now, but obviously, 5 wins for Oscar versus 4 wins for Lando isn't that big of a difference, and they're still just absolutely neck and neck in terms of points. So there's a long way to go, still half the season left, but that's on the wins front. On the podiums front, Oscar and Lando are tied with 10 each, and then we have Max and George tied with 5, Charles with 4, and Kimi and Nico with 1 each. And so some of the big surprises there, and I think the best surprises was, of course, the recent Nico Hülkenberg podium, and then, of course, Kimi. So for pole positions, Max and Oscar are tied with 4, Lando with 3, and George with 1. I think Max being tied for most pole positions is just such a testament to how much he's been able to do with that car. I think the fact that he has been able to like pull out these sort of one lap wonders during quali, and maybe his race results don't reflect that as much just because it's harder in a bad car or a worse car to stay up there and fight, which is maybe why it's not fully reflected in his wins total, like the 2 to Oscar's 5 and Lando's 4. But it's good to see Max up there still getting pole. I also posted qualifying and race head-to-head stats, and now I won't go through all of these. Go check on Instagram if you want to see the full thing, but I did want to call out some of the highlights here. I mean, if we were just talking about Max, he has out-qualified his teammates because obviously he had Liam, and then now he has Yuki 12 times out of 12. He has outqualified them. So that's the most dominant, as well as Fernando Alonso, who has outqualified Lance Stroll 12 out of 12 races. Absolutely crazy. The next most dominant is George, who has outqualified Kimi 11 times to 1. And then Alpine as well, Pierre Gasly, has outqualified his teammates, because Jack Doohan and Franco Colapinto, 10 times out of 12. So those are sort of the most dominant ones. I think some other surprises that people may have not predicted at the beginning of the season was Charles outqualifying Lewis 8 times to 4. So that's relatively dominant. And then Isaac outqualifying both Yuki and Liam at 9 times to 3. So pretty dominant there. Interesting to see how that stacks up in quali. And on the race front, it's not too different. I think one thing that's interesting is Lando versus Oscar is tied both 6 and 6. And then in terms of quali, 7 and 5, Oscar has outqualified Lando 7 times and Lando has outqualified Oscar 5 times. So they still feel neck and neck. And maybe just really quickly on fastest laps, because that's a fun one. Lando 5 fastest laps, Oscar 4, and then Kimi, Max, and George each have 1. So just kind of goes to show how much of a beast this McLaren car is. And this season is the season of Lando and Oscar, which I think a lot of people could have predicted just just given the momentum at the end of the 2024 season, but it has been kind of crazy to watch both of those drivers blossom and just sort of stretch away, especially in constructors, from the rest of the pack. Now, I wanted to revisit some of the predictions and storylines that I had talked about at the beginning of the season, kind of go through some of the things that have come true and some of the surprises. So I think in a surprise to very few people, even at the beginning of the season, was the Franco Colapinto rumors that he would replace Jack Doohan and that Jack Doohan may not even last five races. So that largely came true. Obviously, we still have Franco Colapinto. He has, I think, officially hit his five or six race contract. And so we'll see if he continues to extend with the team. He has not scored any points yet this season, and neither has Jack. Both of them are the only pointsless drivers so far. I would say it's a tough decision in terms of performance, because it's not like Franco Colapinto blew Jack Doohan out of the water. But I do think that just with the audience that Franco brings and everything else, it feels like it would be hard to justify putting Jack back in the seat at this point. But I don't know, neither of them have really made a great case for a full-time F1 seat at this stage. And now, of course, they're both in an Alpine. It's unfortunately, I think, the worst car on the grid. Now, many people would have said Stake at the beginning of this year, but they seem to be on the up more so than, but they seem to be on the up, and Alpine seems to be having the opposite trajectory. So, of course, they're in a bad car, but two pointsless drivers this season, and unclear what that second seat will look like going forward.
In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you only get to pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment, and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Let's be honest, does anyone really know what hormones do? There is so much talk about women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what to do about it. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, a sense of balance. And Happy Mammoth, the company behind this formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormonal imbalances. And what makes this formula unlike anything else is that it tackles multiple hormone imbalances at the same time, which creates a cascade of benefits all through the body and mind, just leading to a better mood, more energy, easier weight management, and deep comfort. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
I think one of the other big storylines I thought would define this season was Red Bull, their performance, what does the future hold for Max? And we're very much seeing that play out in real time. I think I said that in 2025, we'd get a much clearer sense of whether we think Max will stick it out with Red Bull, go to another team, or retire. Obviously, we did not know the Christian Horner news was coming. And so that sort of plays into that question of what will Max do? But yes, I think we're seeing this play out very much in real time of the car clearly for Red Bull is on the downhill. The junior driver program and the viability of that is still very much a question mark, just given how many people have cycled through that second Red Bull seat. Liam and Yuki, you can now add to that tally of unfortunate careers that seem to have plateaued or taken the wrong turn in that seat. That is something that feels largely accurate from when we started this season. Talked a lot about Lando and Oscar, of course, and the fact that they would both be in the hunt for a driver's championship. So they would be quite focused on 2025 performance, maybe not necessarily at the expense of 2026, but they have a lot to gain from sort of being at the front and getting one of their drivers a driver's championship, which seems likely to happen. I think one of my predictions in the predictions episode was that McLaren may move from their sort of team first or papaya rules approach and start to prioritize a driver if one came out ahead. Maybe that would have been true if a driver came out ahead, but we still very much see them neck and neck. And so there is absolutely no prioritization going on at this stage. Those drivers are still duking it out. McLaren is letting their drivers race, which we've seen in some past races. One, unfortunately, was Lando taking himself out. Another was a very good battle between them. So it seems like there has been no prioritization because no one has come out ahead. Now we'll see what happens, who might pull away in the second half of the season. But at the time, I think I had said that they would have a much easier time on their hands if Lando sort of like came out of the gate swinging. Oscar was still up there, but not necessarily fighting for a driver's championship. Like the math was pretty easy and Lando would just take it. But Oscar, credit to him, credit where credit is due. He has really brought the fight and, of course, is leading the championship right now. So I think that makes it a little more complicated for McLaren and just makes them stick to that team first, papaya rules mentality. And we'll see if that ever switches, but I imagine they will start to prioritize whichever driver mathematically seems very likely to win the championship. So we'll see when that happens. Maybe that doesn't happen at all because they're racing until Abu Dhabi and it comes down to the final race, which would be just such a blessing for all of us. Another category of storylines that I talked about in that episode at the beginning of the season was around business. And so I talked a lot about the shifting media rights. I talked about that at the top of this episode related to the Apple news, but we're definitely seeing that play out. And I'm sure there will be an announcement at some point, of course, before 2026 on who will be getting the US rights for F1. Like I said, I think I could see a streamer getting like a test race, but it feels a little too soon for me for to go full streamer, but very much could be proven wrong. I also talked about F1 Academy on the business side, just in terms of the media attention that they would be getting this year in terms of, you know, the F1 Academy Netflix series produced by Hello Sunshine and the fact that they're in their third season. It's a little bit more of a mature series. They know what they're doing. They sort of level up every season in terms of how they integrate with F1, how they show up to race weekends, everything around them, all the sponsors they bring, all the attention they bring. And I think they have leveled up this year in a great way. What I think is hard is just the calendar having only 7 races. I think it could be hard to stay invested when the races are so spread out. I think about that a little bit with tennis as well, where most tennis fans like don't really pay attention to most of the year except for the 4 majors. And so those are quite spread out. Of course, the 4 majors have, you know, crazy attendance and a lot of excitement around them, but it is hard to sustain the excitement and the buy-in if you have such a big gap between these sort of marquee events. And for F1 Academy, it's their 7 races. I think that series did an amazing job, but I think it's also hard that the nature of sort of a feeder series and a spec series is that these drivers graduate and age out. It's not sort of like the end all be all. We want the Abby Pullings of the world to be going to GB3, to be moving up the ranks. And so I think you can get really invested in characters, for example, in the Hello Sunshine documentary, like Bianca Bustamante or Abby Pulling, but then not really have a great way to stay engaged or follow them and what they're doing outside of F1 Academy besides on social media. And so I think that jump is a little hard, and you have a constant pipeline of new and fresh faces, which is great. But I think there's more to come in terms of how to stay invested in F1 Academy. What is cool is I was looking into the data on Google Trends of after the F1 Academy series came out, what the Google search data was for GB3, and it really went up. I think because of Abby pulling and because of the fact that this is sort of a stepladder into the next series, people are starting to get invested in that pipeline. And so hopefully that sticks, and hopefully there are ways to follow these drivers as they progress through the path. But I was really heartened to see that that Google search trend data went way up right when that show came out. I talked a lot about LVMH at the beginning of the season because they had just signed that $1 billion 10-year deal. And we have seen a decent amount of LVMH, like, of course, the branding on the racetracks, the fact that Monaco had its first ever title sponsor for the race. But we haven't maybe seen as much as I would have expected. And I'm sure there's stuff coming down the pipeline, like Whispering Angel is an LVMH brand, and that was announced as the official rosé partner of F1. But I'm interested to see if there's more coming and if they really blow it out of the water. But maybe that's just what luxury is. It's understated. It's unattainable. It's not in your face. And so maybe we won't be seeing as much sort of classic sponsor activations, and it will be more of these like smaller moments like the suitcase trophies and stuff like that. But we'll see. A couple of other teams to shout out. So Williams at the beginning of the season, I had read a lot of your guys' predictions and I had mine as well. I think a lot of you said that Williams would come back to top five. People were feeling really good about the Carlos signing, James Vowles, Alex Albon being an incredible driver. At the time, I said that I thought it would be a tall order for Williams to come back into the top five this year, just given the switch in regulations in 2026. But I am so happy to be proven wrong on that. They are sitting in P5 currently in constructors. I said that they would be best of the rest in sixth place behind all the top four teams and then Aston Martin. But Aston Martin really has had a tough season so far. I'm very happy that Williams is where they are so far. So here were my top three predictions for drivers and constructors. I said top three, Lando, which there is a good chance that he could get the driver's championship, depending on what happens with Oscar. Then I said Lewis, then I said Max Verstappen, and then I said Oscar. So clearly some of these were quite wrong. I think if you ask me now, oh, it's so hard between Oscar and Lando. I'm going to say Lando still. I'm going to say Lando, then Oscar, and then George. It's kind of hot, but I'm going to say it. And for constructors, I said McLaren, Ferrari, and Mercedes, and I'm actually feeling quite good about that. So I'm going to stick with that order and hope it pans out for the rest of the season. At the time, I said the best performing rookie would be Ollie Berman. And I said, I caveated that this might be relative just given the car that he's in, but he would outperform the car even if he's not scoring the most points. I don't think I was right on that. I think Kimi and Isaac Hadjar actually are taking the cake in terms of best performing rookies. So wasn't quite right on that one, but there's still half a season to go. A couple other predictions that I think are playing out is I predicted that Sauber would not finish P10, that another team would sink to the bottom, so to speak, and that is proving to be true. And then I said it would be another tough season for Alpine, which unfortunately is coming true. So it is the Spa Grand Prix this weekend. Let's do a little bit of a preview for what to expect. Spa is just such a famous classic track. It offers so much. The drivers absolutely love it, though, of course, it has come under a lot of well-deserved criticism for safety reasons, especially the famous Eau Rouge and Radeon combination. And this weekend is a sprint race, which means there are more points on the table, more racing for us to watch. I'm excited to see it, especially because I love Spa so much as a track, and it's such a fun racing track. It's also the longest lap on the F1 calendar. It has the most elevation change of any track. It's 7 kilometers per lap, which is actually insane. But yeah, let me know what you all think is going to happen this weekend. If you have any predictions, any hot takes. For my hot takes and predictions, coming in hot here, I'm going to say a Lewis Hamilton podium, and I'm going to say double Haas points. We'll see. Go Laura Mueller. On that note, thank you as always for listening, and excited for the race weekend ahead, and we'll chat soon.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.